I haven't said a word to you since last Monday's show. Like, we didn't even chat, nothing. Like, what about this week? Like, no prep, nothing.
I've missed you so much.
It's a lie. I can see it in your eyes. It's a lie,
It's been like this. I've been trying to like chill and be in a little zen space, and I already miss everybody. I haven't been to a race in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's too long.
I haven't talked to you in a week. I mean, I'm feeling that itch, you know?
I mean, I feel, honestly, I feel like once a week is enough for me to talk to you. It about covers what I need. But I mean, it's a good hour. There's that.
Okay.
Hey, Grace, instead of my silly jokes or facts, I have some other stuff for you.
Oh, okay.
So this is stuff that you can. It's kind of like deep thought stuff that you can take with you the rest of your life. I think you'll thank
Oh.
me after you hear a couple of these things. I just want you to take it in, kind of breathe through it, and
Okay.
do what you want with it. Maybe
Can
share
I
it.
intro? Can I intro you first?
Intro me?
Yeah.
This is new. Yeah,
Yeah.
sure. Go.
Deep thoughts with Eric Kosek.
Grace, the best part of a cucumber tastes like the worst part of a watermelon. Think about
Nicely done. Nicely done.
that. Your mind, I can see it's a little blown right now.
Little bit.
The worst part of a cucumber tastes, or the best part of a cucumber tastes like the
Yeah.
worst part of a watermelon. That's genius. It's beautiful. It's poetry.
Yeah.
All right, this one's gonna blow your mind even more. All right, I know we got to start this show, but I need to tell you
That's
these things.
okay.
Yeah.
But I gotta intro it again first. Ready?
Go ahead. Go.
Deep thoughts with Eric Kosek.
Grace, a different version of you exists in the minds of everyone who knows you.
Very true.
It's amazing.
It
Like
is amazing.
there's like hundreds of Graces out there. That alone scares
Yeah.
me.
Yeah, there's a version of me where I'm like real like chill.
You don't make up your own versions. What are you talking about?
No, I don't. I'm saying that it has to exist, right?
Yeah, like in my eyes, you are the coolest person ever, but I can't really describe that.
Hey, you know what? In my eyes, I'm the coolest person ever too. Look at that.
Oh,
We
that's
agree.
crazy. All right, I got one more for you. This one's a little bit of a downer, but I feel like you need to know it.
Okay, ready? I'm gonna intro you.
Go ahead.
Deep thoughts with Eric Kosek.
Grace, your eraser dies slowly because of your own mistakes.
Yeah, but I get to learn from them,
That doesn't help the fact
right?
that you're killing your own eraser because of your own dumb mistakes. Try to fix your mistakes is the whole point of that, Grace. God, let's get this.
That eraser will never get used. It'll never live up to its purpose.
You ever think an eraser just wants to be its full self at
It
the head
just wants
of
to erase.
The top of the pencil and be proud like a crown, but no, you ruin it with your own mistakes. Let's start this show, Grace. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, don't make any mistakes on this show.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm Eric. Wait a minute, Grace.
Was that a mistake?
I didn't even know I could stop that intro. Grace, are you ready to start the show?
I'm ready to start the show.
That's never happened. I just made a mistake. Whew.
Yeah, you did. You forgot to
Grace,
intro the episode number.
our guest tonight recently ran 100 miles on the Pine Creek Railroad Trail, which sounds very unfun. Let's talk to her about it on episode 81. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Bam, bam. Don't do your bam, bam, bam,
I
bam.
did it. Bam, bam.
I didn't hear
Bam,
it.
bam.
Your barrels are getting quiet.
Yeah, they were kind of quiet. I'm in fall training season. I'm thinking about winter racing. I love winter racing, and so I'm straight into fall training. I'm trying to manifest this here race to open their registration. Frozen Snot. I can't wait. It's not open yet.
Stop. It's summer. It's not even fall yet. We have like several days yet left, and you're pushing. You're like the pumpkin spice of summer. Don't do that.
Puffy coats and gloves.
No,
I can't wait.
So dumb. Why would you do this?
Oh,
he isn't here. God, you're like Walmart putting out their stuff for Christmas already.
I skip right past that. I can't wait until January.
Yeah, because that's an idiot race.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Frozen Snot, the hardest half marathon in the world. I don't know. I can't say that, but it's really hard half marathon.
Yeah.
In Lock Haven.
I'm trying to manifest it. If I wear all the things, maybe they'll open up registration soon.
Registration sells out instantly, and it hasn't opened yet. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
There hasn't even been any talk about it. So who knows? Maybe they're doing something secret. I don't know.
No. This is one of the things I love about this race. You never know when it's going to open. They don't have to put it on a schedule because they know they're going to sell out. It's fine. I think what it is they get all of their permits buttoned up. That's honestly what it is. So.
And another race that is happening this coming weekend is run on trails that are very close. A couple of them might even be on the part of the same. I get mixed up down there myself, but Boulder Beast 24 mile race is this weekend. If you like running on lots of rocks, that would be a race you want to look to in the future. That also sells out fairly quick, but they allow, I don't know if it's sold out technically, honestly, but I know they allow a lot of people to run it. So there's that this weekend.
Yeah, and if you don't like scrambling rock scrambles and you want a runnable course, then Trails for Tails is coming up this weekend, which has a 40-miler and a 40-mile relay, too.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say there's some people running Boulder Beast. Ben Robinson is running Boulder Beast for the first time. He's a super fast dude, so he should do very well on that course. Jason Tanner, who we've had on the show, he's running it. Adam Russell, who is a legend in trail running, is running it. Mm-hmm. Sullivan is running Boulder Beast.
Nice. So,
yeah, well, hopefully we'll have a little time to talk about the results from that effort next week.
Yeah, that's stacking up nicely. Cool.
But tonight is Monday.
Uh-huh.
September 16th. It's not fall yet.
No.
So we're still in summertime.
I don't understand that. See, for me, it's Labor Day. Once Labor Day passes, it is no longer summertime.
Well, that's not how the rest of the world works, Grace. So I'm sorry for you that it's like that, but the fact is it's still summertime.
Well, there gets to be more than one version of summertime, doesn't there? If there's more than one Eric, there's more than one summertime.
There's a lot. I'm afraid to know what other people, we're not going there.
Hey, we've got Georgetta on tonight. Georgetta thru-hiked the entire Appalachian Trail and also finished up Pine Creek 100 miler. So we are excited to have her on. You ready to bring her on?
Throw her on there.
Boop, boop. Hi, Georgetta.
Hi.
That's a beautiful fridge you got there.
Thank you.
Looks just like mine, actually. Same
one. You have more pictures on yours.
Yeah, but I meant the model, Grace. Gosh.
Okay.
Wow. Welcome, Georgetta. Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me.
So you just most recently finished Pine Creek 100 miler, but we should probably start with the first amazing thing you did this year, which was hiking the AT, right? Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Sure.
So what direction did you go?
I went north. I went from Georgia to Maine.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so we're gonna break out all of the AT through hiker lingo. So first off, the AT Appalachian Trail, it is 2,600 miles, somewhere around there.
2,197 miles.
And so AT stands for Appalachian Trail Thru Hike. Means something slightly different depending on who you talk to, but usually it means doing the entire trail in one shot, which is what you did, Georgetta. And you went Novo northbound. And why did you decide to do this to begin with? Most people take 3 to 4 months to complete the Appalachian Trail. And so why did you say, I want to spend a few months out of my life pooping in the woods?
I love backpacking. I love it. And so this was just a great challenge, right? It was just a great, great challenge. Most people actually take anywhere from 4 to 7 months. The average being like 6 months is what most people do it in. And I just love backpacking. And so right now, this year, this time, both my girls are old enough I could leave. So Kaylee's 19, so I could leave her, you know, they don't need me all the time. So that's why now.
Awesome. And you, so to clarify, that is Kaylee Frederick is your daughter. And she's done a lot of awesome things. She's also been on the show before. And the both of you have gotten this love for fitness and doing challenging things. And your trail name is also Trail Mama, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Did that stick on the AT, or did you get a different one on the AT?
I did not get a different one. I didn't like approach it as like looking for a different one. Like when you meet people, they'll ask you, or you know, just hey, my name is this. What's your name? And so like if somebody already has one, you don't generally. They don't get a new one generally, right? Gotcha. So yeah.
Nice.
Did you have to utilize your trail nickname, or did you help many people or anything like that?
I did help a few people, but for the most part, actually, I did not help a lot of people out there because it's very the time that I was trying to complete the trail in, I had to be what I'm going to call a selfish. I had to be very kind of in tune with my own needs. And if I was concentrating on helping other people, I couldn't do that. So I actually did not spend a lot of time helping people. My friend Andrew Boyd, he's a pretty amazing runner too. He came to see me in Maine. He actually brought pizza for me. And I think he might've, I actually gave some of the pizza away to people, and I don't know if he liked that or not. But so there were a few times when I kind of did things like that because like we're all on this journey, right? We're all like heading in the same direction or whatever. We're all on a journey and we're trying to make it. And so whenever I could, I would help people. Just I didn't go out of my way in my normal, usual way to right. do that, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so take us to the beginning. What did you do to prepare?
So I've been running, so like that helps, just like time on the feet. And I was backpacking like every weekend that I possibly could, and like wearing heavy backpack. I also, like, just for the last couple of years have been training. I go to CrossFit 5, sometimes 6 days a week. I have been doing 100 burpees every day for like 2-ish, 2.5 years. And I've been doing core work every day. And it, although that those weren't necessarily things that were like, it wasn't like time on the trail necessarily, but it was still like working on my body and making me strong and helping me just be physically prepared for what I was going to do. I couldn't be on the trail that much just because of my life and work obligations and obligations with Kaylee and all the things she was doing. And so, that's what I did.
Do what you can, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Now, what did you tell us about what you initially packed, and then some of the things that you decided that you didn't need, and some of the things that you wish you had had. So packing is a really big deal when it comes to through hiking. How did that go?
Absolutely. Well, I'd only done like my longest trip before this was 9 days. And so this was way different, right? Like at the end of 9 days, I know that I'm going home and all of that. So it's just way different. When I go on a weekend trip, I have it dialed in. I know exactly what I need. You know, I don't take anything more than I need. So this was just a lot different. So I started off with an extra change of clothes, like an extra pair of shorts, an extra tank top, an extra short sleeve shirt. Ended up getting rid of all of those. I had extra underclothes. I got rid of all of those. I started with a full tube of Desitin, which is what I use for chafing. I had actually almost no issues with chafing at the beginning. I ended up having chafing one time. And so I did buy Desitin again, but like, I just decided I don't need to carry that because I wasn't using it. I wasn't needing it. And then food, I had packed too much food at the beginning. So then I had to get that dialed in as well. So that changed my weight. I started off with 2.5 liters of water and ended up only carrying 1.5 because water was so frequent. I didn't have to carry that much. And water is heavy. So yeah. Maybe you guys probably know that. I don't know.
Yep.
So, and I sent my pot home. I had a pot and a stove and a fuel canister. I ended up cold soaking my food just to save the weight there as well. Probably wouldn't do that again. I probably, moving forward, if I go on a long trip again, I will keep that because I eat more when the food's warm. And getting enough calories in is a big deal. And everybody struggles with that. And I struggled with that. So I don't want to go through that again.
Nice. Now, tell us a little bit about critters that you encountered.
I saw turkeys, little baby turkeys one day. This was so cool. The trail was like, it had like the tall grass, which is, nobody loves walking through that crap. But anyway, it was just the tall grass that was like over the trail. And there were like 3 little baby turkeys on the trail. And like, they were just running on it. And I was following them. And then one ducked off over here and one went over here. But it was just super cool because like, nobody else in the whole world had that experience at that time, right? And so I saw a little baby deer, like that was really legitimately was like, looked like Bambi, you know, hardly could walk. I saw some bear, but bears run away. They typically don't want to bother us. Lots of deer, lots of turkey, lots of squirrels, one rattlesnake, and many other snakes. An angry beaver. A beaver was very angry with me that I was there and like was hissing and mad. And so like, that was actually the worst thing I encountered, an angry beaver.
Wow.
Grace, do you know what a baby turkey is called?
No.
A poult.
A poult?
Poult. Yes.
Okay.
Turkey poults.
A turkey poult.
Fun fact. Another fun fact for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. before we go any farther, quick shout out. Dave Walker is listening in. He through hiked the AT also.
He did.
Yeah, 2 years ago, maybe at this point. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Good job, Dave Walker.
Yeah.
I just want to know like the good, bad, and the ugly that happened out there. Like the, honestly, like the best highlights and lowlights of your adventure. Start with, we'll get the bad news out first. Like what was the worst thing that happened or like the worst thing that stands out or even the worst day and why type of thing? You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, I can tell you all about my first day, but my worst day, but it'll take a little bit because it was a really shitty, really shitty day.
Perfect.
Okay. We got time.
All right. So I was in, this would have probably been in it was still in May, I think. I don't remember exactly, but anyhow, there's a mountain called Priest Mountain, and then there's three ridges, okay? This particular morning, I got up, and I had stomach problems, and stomach problems are never good no matter where you are, whether you're at home or whether you're not at home or whatever. But anyway, I think I drank water that had bacteria in it, but whatever. Anyway, just had to keep going and going and going and going all morning long. So like that just really messed with the pace, right? And then you don't feel very good. You feel weaker than normal, and you know, you're scared to eat, and you know, like all of that. Anyway, by the time the afternoon came, it was better than it had been. So I was happy about that. And started going down this mountain called Priest Mountain. I had climbed up it and I started going down it. And it was like, seemed like it went on forever. It was like 5 miles and the descent was like 3,000 feet or something like that. And then in the afternoon it starts raining, just buckets. And you know, we all just don't love rain, do we, out there? So now we got wet feet. Now we got slippery rocks that we're walking on and all that jazz. And so finally get down to the bottom. It did stop raining. Crossed a road, so the road would lead to a town that I could have got off the trail on, but I didn't because that wasn't what I was intending to do. And started heading up the next mountain, which was called Three Ridges. And I had hoped to go a little further than Three Ridges to sleep that night onto a place called Bee Mountain. So there was a big climb up Three Ridges, and then it would go down just a little bit and then back up onto Bee Mountain. So Bee Mountain was about maybe 2.5 miles past the summit of Three Ridges. Mm-hmm. And I never had, like, things weren't set in stone because you just don't know, like, what's to come. And so I always had the backstop. So the backstop was the summit of Three Ridges. So started climbing Three Ridges, and everything is all wet. And great big rocks, boulders, just climbing over boulders at the end of the day. And like I had told myself, if I got up to the summit by 7:30, I would still probably have enough daylight to continue on. And so when I had the idea, when I had that plan, like I thought I could get there by 7:30, right? Well, I got there to the summit at 9:30. Oof. Like it took me way long. So by this time it's dark, it's foggy, it's like misty rain, it's windy, and like, you know, I've already had all this crappy things happen. My foot was really hurting. I had broken my toe like a couple weeks before that, and it was better for the most part until I was on rocks a lot. Mm-hmm. So like that was really hurting. And there was like, I couldn't stop. I couldn't like camp on the side of the trail because there was so many rocks. Like there was nowhere I could put my tent down. I couldn't cowboy camp because it was misty, rainy. And it was just like, oh, finally got up there. And like, then I'm just feeling defeated because I got there late and later than I thought. And mm-hmm. I didn't get as far as I wanted to get. Right. And mm-hmm. so like, it was a whole bunch of adversity, and that was just a really crappy day. And get my tent set up, eat my food, go to sleep, get up in the morning at 4:30 and go again. Like, yeah.
Wow. Like, just have to let it all go. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that kind of thing was hard to do sometimes, but anyway, so that was like the crappiest day that I had out there. And thankfully, most of them weren't like that, right? Some of the best times that I had would have been like in New Hampshire. New Hampshire was very hard on the White Mountains, but it was also very beautiful. It was like, it was so wonderful to like get up on these ridge tops and just see for miles, like just see where you're going and see where you've been, and just this whole kind of surreal experience. It was just super cool. The people were so awesome that I met on the trail, but also lots of my friends came, and even mm-hmm. friends that were my friends that I had never met before came to do trail magic for me. So like in total, I think there were 27 people that came out, like,
wow,
just for me, to help me. It's like, wow, like that was just so cool. It was so cool. So like that was some of my favorite stuff, because just people just, I don't know, it was just awesome. Because I struggled a lot with being lonely out there, a lot with that. Just alone.
I wanted to clarify that you went out solo. So you decided I'm going to do this solo female out on the trail for over 2000 miles.
Right. You're like, lots of females do it actually. It's not an uncommon thing, right? It's mm-hmm. a very common. Yeah.
Yep.
Even grandmas.
Yes. And they make it. But you said, I'll be totally fine. I can do this.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about some of the trail magic that you received. And again, for anyone who needs some definitions, trail magic is food that is given to you. Somebody brings to you while you're out on the trail, and trail angels are people who will support any hikers, but especially through hikers out on the trail. And so there are people who either live in a property that happens to be close to the trail, or they just decide to go there and help out some through hikers. So tell us a little bit about some of the great trail magic and trail angels you encountered.
All right. So my very first trail angel, her name is Marlene, and her trail name is Emoji. And so I started at the beginning of May, and most people start their through hikes in March or April. So the trail magic kind of follows the bubble. So since I started later than most people do, I was not in the bubble. So for the first like 400 miles or 500 miles, like I was not, there was no trail magic really. And so mile 420, this lady, Marlene, was, I come out of the woods and she was standing there and she was like, trail magic. I was like, oh my God. it was so cool. She had like in her car, her trunk was full of like moon pies and Propel, like the powders to put in your water and honey buns. And like, it was just like, right. Like, and she had Yoohoo. And so, and we chatted for a while. And so, but it was so special because at that particular moment, I was like super struggling with the alone thing and actually mm-hmm. the like touch in our normal lives. Like we high five people or we fist bump or we hug our family or, you know, like right. handshakes or whatever. And just the context of what I was doing, and I would see people some, but it wasn't like, you know, when you see a random like person out there, it's not necessarily, you're not going to go over and touch them. Right. Like mm-hmm. you just don't do that. And so like not having that was very hard. Like I didn't even expect that at all. But anyway, she gave me a hug, like this real hug. And it was like, just, I just started crying. It was just so awesome. And so she's special. It was a special moment for me. And I had a lot of other people came out to help too. My friend Kip, he drove from Pittsburgh to Daleville, Virginia. And stayed with me for a couple of days and bought me dinner and all this stuff. Like different friends came to Harper's Ferry when I was there that drove from this area. So that was super cool. Two of the people that helped me a lot were Chris and Peyton, and they were actually on the trail with me probably for maybe about 20 days, not all in a row, but something like that. They just came to support me and help in the journey. And that was just super cool. Like they actually took vacation time to come and do that. Another couple, Brian and Carrie. I actually met Brian on the Laurel Highlands Trail a few years back. He was doing a hike and I was hiking so I met him one time, and he actually planned a vacation to come and help me on this trip. I just couldn't believe it. It was just like so crazy. And they brought pizza and brownies and dogs. They had like dogs. They brought Coco and I can't think of the other one's name, but that was just super cool. It was just so cool that people just came to like just support.
People are amazing.
Yeah. That's
wild. All right. What was your favorite section?
I'm going to say Pennsylvania because
that is not what anybody else.
I know. Actually, only part of PA is hard. Like, only part of PA is rocky. Probably less than half of it, actually. And so you can actually make some pretty good miles, pretty good distance in a good part of it. But so many people came while I was in PA. So, like, I loved it. It was just awesome. It was so awesome.
That's great. Usually, so statistically, the most hated section of the trail for AT through hikers is Pennsylvania. And it's known as Roxylvania, also as the place where it will chew up your shoes. So a lot of people change shoes after they get through the rocky section of Pennsylvania. What did you have a section that you didn't like as much, or were you pretty happy throughout?
I actually didn't. So I have a love-hate relationship with New Hampshire.
Okay.
New Hampshire was so hard. It was so, it was so technical. And I just, like, here where we're from, it's, or at least the places that I have frequented were nothing like that. Nothing. It was just, it was just like, I had a major anxiety through parts of New Hampshire, and it was just boulders and like having your backpack on, and again the being alone thing, like knowing if I do something and get hurt, there's nobody here, like I'm all by myself, and like I could fall off the side of this mountain and nobody would know it for days, right? And like that's just kind of a hard thing to face and like deal with, but I had to get through it. But it was also beautiful. It was also amazing. And you got to see a lot of really cool things, but it was just, that was hard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is hard. It's until you're up there and you see it, you don't realize how hard it is that you're saying, like, it's, there's not much that's runnable. And the time, the things that people do up there and the times they do it in some of the FKTs, I don't even understand how these people are doing it, because it's insane.
Right.
Yeah.
How technical it is. But yeah, it is. I only went up there and I did the PEMI loop, and part of the AT is on that. But yeah, I totally agree. The best part is getting up to the top, and I'm like, that, it feels like you're out west, you know?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So give us some of the stats. What do you know what your average pack weight was?
When I first started, like when I left Amicalola Falls, it was 33.7 pounds.
Okay, that's not bad.
So no, that wasn't bad, but like I know it got weighed less than that because I did get rid of a lot of stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I actually didn't weigh it at the end, so I don't know, but I would say probably I was probably maybe around 26, 27 towards the end, with like the same days of food and all that. So yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty light.
Yeah.
What did you what was your official amount of time that you spent out there?
98 days.
98 days. That is speedy. How many zeros did you take?
Two.
Only two zeros. That's not very many at all.
Yeah. I didn't really want to take them either, but but it did do me good, because then I was I felt better the next day. So
Okay, only two zeros. And then again, for through hiker language, there's also something called a Nero, which is nearly zero. So taking a zero is when you do no miles for that day. And it's pretty common to have zeros. And then a Nero is almost no miles. So did you have any Neros?
I would say I had maybe like two or three Neros, like legitimate Neros. I did call some like 17 mile days Neros.
Yeah.
But like, is that a Nero?
No.
I don't know.
It's not. So, no, not in through hiker languages, 17 is not at all a Nero.
Probably not. So then I probably only had like three of those. There were like less than 10.
Wow. What was your average mileage per day?
So up till I got to New Hampshire, I was averaging 24 to 28. And wow. then, and then New Hampshire happened, and it was like, boom, you are going to slow down. And so then it changed like 17, and then I ended up like down to 10 for some days, because it was just hard. It was just physically hard and mentally hard, and you know, that just what it was. So, and then I ended up finishing probably, I had a handful of 30s out there. My biggest day was like 32.
That's hard.
So yeah.
Nice.
That's wild.
I want to talk about the Pine Creek Challenge, Grace.
Oh, that's right. We got to talk about Pine Creek. Thank you for reminding me. I'm so stuck on the through hike. Congratulations, though. That is a huge accomplishment, Georgetta, and what a cool adventure. And I'm sure if anybody wants some tips, they can reach out to you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Would you do it again?
Yes, I will. Nice.
Oh, awesome. We'll have you back on again.
Okay.
All right, let's move forward. A couple months after you finished. I don't know.
1 month.
1 month after you finished, you just completed 2 weeks ago, Pine Creek Challenge 100 miler, which is on the Pine Creek Rail Trail. There's a marathon distance, there's a 50 mile distance, there's a 100K distance, and of course the big 100 miler, which goes kind of back and forth and back and forth a little bit from Wellsboro to Blackwell, Pennsylvania, on the rail trail, getting your mileage up to 100. But it's pretty much, you could call it pancake flat, fine crushed gravel, beautiful scenery. I mean, you're running and walking along Pine Creek. There's bald eagles, there's rattlesnakes, all kinds of good stuff. How did it go for you?
I went pretty well. I actually PR'd my 50 mile time, so I was super happy about that.
Nice.
And overall, it went well. I finished in 28:38, which at the my first half, the 50, I finished in 10:44. So at that moment, it was like, maybe I could sub 24, which would have been super awesome. But I made a mistake. I made a big mistake. So as you said, it's kind of like a out and back and out and back all these different ways. So the one half of the part is like 15 miles. It's like 7 point something and then in back. So that's 15 miles. And so in the evening, after I finished the first half, I was going out on that section, and I took my headlamp with me because I knew it might get dark before I got back there. And my mind just wasn't, I don't know. I didn't think about taking my long sleeves with me at that moment. And I knew the temperature was going to drop. I had long sleeves with me in my car, and I just didn't take them with me at that moment. And as soon as the sun started going down, the temperature dropped. Oh. So it was in the low 60s that day, and then it was going to get into the low 40s. And it just, it was not good. I actually ended up, so it got dark. It did get dark before I got back. And I actually tucked my arms inside my tank top. Like, I was so cold. I was so cold. And when I got back to where my car was, I got checked in. I got some, they had mac and cheese. So I got mac and cheese. So it's like trying to get something warm inside. And I went and put on all my layers that I had in my car. And I was just like shaking, like uncontrollably shaking. And I actually got inside my car for 2 hours until it stopped.
Wow.
And then I had decided that if it stopped, if it did calm down, I would continue. And so it did. And but then, like, I got 35 miles to go. 2 hours in my car, right?
Yeah.
But I had to do that. Like, I had to get warm. It was just like, I've never been that cold actually for that time. Like, my hands were numb. I couldn't feel them for a while. So I don't know if I had like the beginning of hypothermia or something. I don't know, but that was my mistake. I did it. I caused it. I created it, and I just had to deal with it. But so Yeah, I will never make that mistake again. That will.
It's super tough to, I think, warm up and then get yourself back out there. And, you know, thankfully you have the time to still get back out there. So,
right.
So that's really
good. Yeah. And this time of year, especially I ride my motorcycle to work every morning and home in the afternoon. And this time of year, especially in the Pine Creek Valley, especially like when it gets dark, that cold air just drops right off the hills and right into the valley. So when it says that, you know, in Mansfield or Wellsboro that it's 44 degrees, the valleys are going to be colder than that because it's noticeable every single morning and night. Yeah. I'm sure it was cold.
It was cold, but
what did you think of, what did you think of the race overall as a whole? I mean, it's kind of mind-numbing, I guess, of a race. It doesn't take much thought, which is a good thing in some respects. Did you enjoy that part of it?
The flat is hard. Like, I mean, you know, it's achievable. I went into it knowing I had a good shot of being able to accomplish what I wanted to do because it was flat, but it is hard. Like, you're just using the same muscles over and over and over and over again. And like, that is just, that's hard. It's really hard. But I thought the race, like the volunteers were good. I thought that the, some of the spacing of the aid stations were kind of far apart, but I know why they are. Like, it's just how it has to be for getting vehicles and whatever back in there. But you just have to be prepared for that too and make sure you have enough liquids and, you know, whatever you need in between those spaces. But
from Darling Run down to Blackwell, you are in the Grand Canyon of PA, and there's not much vehicle access. So you have
no.
You have Tyodotten, which is a small aid station, and that's it. So, right. Yeah, I'm sure that's the roughest section as far as not seeing people or getting aid.
Yeah, for over like at night, like in the dark, that's kind of rough. But yeah, it's all right though.
Nice. Would you do that one again?
Probably. Yeah, I probably would do it again. Nice. Yeah, because I mean, like, you learn, right? Like, I learned so much doing it. And so, obviously, Kaylee has done, that was her first 100. And we've just been around, we've kind of been in the world. I've been in the world, even though I haven't, like, done the mileage that the people have. And so, like, actually physically doing it, I now have an even greater respect for the people who do it. And, I always did because I know that it's hard, but wow, it's just that mental aspect. Like, you know, I can stop, right? I don't have to keep doing this or getting out of my car after being in there for that was freaking hard. Right.
Yeah.
And to know that the people go through those things, like Kaylee's very first time in Pine Creek, it was actually very similar in the way of the temperatures and got really cold. And I was pacing her overnight and she ended up having to be at an aid station for, I don't remember, maybe an hour and just wrapped up in blankets till she got warm. And, you know, she tried, but I wasn't cold there because I hadn't expended that much energy. Right.
Yeah.
So it was just this whole different, I just didn't realize how much, what it does to your body, I guess. Even though I see it, even though I'm around it, I just didn't physically understand. So, that was great. Eye-opening.
Great. It's wild. And it's wild how everybody's so different. You know, I just ran a race with Callie. And Callie she runs hot. She can be in shorts in 35 degrees and you can feel her skin is hot. That's how she runs. And so one, everybody's different. Two, it's different when you're running. Three, it's different when you're running for a very long time, but you also have to consider, am I going to slow down later in a race? You know, with races like Pine Creek, where you do have access to crew fairly often, I always tell people, just bring everything. Bring absolutely, bring a winter coat and bring shorts. Like, bring everything in between. You might as well, because if you need it, it's right there. And then I think also, if you're crewing, if you're volunteering, oh my gosh, the first time I tried to volunteer in a winter race, I think it was when I volunteered for the duck, and I just was not used to volunteering in the cold, which is very different from running in the cold. And I was frozen, and I should have brought a lot more, and I didn't. Okay. Good, bad, and the ugly for Pine Creek. What was your best moment?
PRing my 50 miles. Yeah. That was great. And finishing, like those two things. Cause I, so when I got off the AT, right, I very quickly got back into my normal routine of like running every day or almost every day. But my running is typically like 5-ish miles is like that's what I have time to do. And so I didn't really train totally properly for this race in that I didn't do like my longest run. The most miles I got in one day in this month was 11. So like that wasn't totally smart. It wasn't brilliant. But anyway, I didn't know for sure if I could physically like do it. And people were like, well, you just hiked all those miles. Well, it's different. It's different hiking than it is running. One, and the terrain was very different. Like just the flat is just, oh, it's hard in its own way. That was the ugly, I guess, that it was flat. It was good and bad. And that I made a mistake of not taking my long things with me when I needed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, what else did you say? Is there something else?
No. I think that covers it. Yeah.
We just wanted to know what good and bad was.
All right.
So what's next for you?
I'm not sure. I'm not for sure. So I do want to do the other two distance trails that are in the United States for through hiking, the Pacific Crest Trail and the Continental Divide Trail. But like, I'm thinking that's going to be a couple years. I got to save money before I can do that. As far as running, Kaylee will be doing Haynesport in a couple of, probably, I don't know if it's two or three, a month away or something like that. I may be there. And if I do go there, I probably will participate in that in some context. There is a 12-hour and a 24-hour there. So I might do the 12-hour there and see how that goes. So, yeah, I don't know for sure. But
nice.
Awesome.
Wrap it up, Grace.
Okay. I have two more questions for you. So one, what advice would you give to people who want to through hike the AT?
Train on with your pack on rocky areas, technical areas. I trained, but it was not technical. It was not like, I wish I would have done that.
Yeah. Footing is different.
Yes.
And then what advice do you have to people going after a flat 100 miler?
Train. I don't know. I guess just work on like, be prepared for the weather. Like, as you said, maybe just if you do have a crew or whatever, if you have, just have all the things that you could possibly need. That's definitely part of having a successful journey on that kind of thing. And yeah.
Absolutely. And tell us a little bit about Trail Mama Hikes.
Okay. That's a business that I started about a year ago, and it is a backpack guiding service that I offer along the Laurel Highlands Hiking Trail. And so if anybody wants to go out, I actually will lead day hikes now. I did add that. But my hope is really to be doing a lot more backpacking, guiding, as opposed to day hikes. But I will do day hikes as well. And just to get people introduced to the trail, especially if they don't know, I do have gear that people can use as well. So if you're interested in that, check out my website, which is www.trailmamahikes.com.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, we were just talking to Erica Lubera about that as well. And so it's great that you're a little bit further west. And I think there's a lot of people now who are wanting to get into backpacking, but it's a really great way to get into it. But have somebody help you along the way who really knows what they're doing. So I encourage people to check out your website, Trail Mama Hikes, and join on one of your hikes, because now you got all kinds of stories behind you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Georgia, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's been great. And follow us on all of the social media stuff on Facebook and Instagram and on YouTube. Like and subscribe and comment and rate and review and do all the things that the algorithm monster asks you to do. And go follow Georgetta on Trail Mama Hikes and be awesome because you are awesome. And then tune in next week when 7:30 p.m. Eastern is when we're going to have Neil Barnaba on. He's going to tell us how Trails for Tales went. It's this coming weekend, and he's going to have some stories for us. That's all I got.
Georgetta, what are you doing this weekend?
I am going to lead a hike this weekend at Wolf Rocks, and that is a something anybody can come to. It's on Sunday. And yay. Saturday, we're going to a wedding. A friend of mine's getting married.
Nice. Sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Grace, what are you doing this weekend?
Let's see. Well, I have nothing planned for Saturday, so I'm super excited about that. And I'm doing some timing. I'm timing on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm actually coming down your way, Grace. Lauren is running in at Hershey, the state's cross country course, for an invite down there on Saturday morning.
Nice.
Yeah. Big invitational, a bunch of schools there. So we're getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, driving down, running, and then driving home.
Fine. Have fun there.
Yeah. Other than that, Sunday, I'm not just do Sunday things.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I got. We good?
We are good. Thanks, Georgetta.
Eric, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah, not a minute earlier. Great.
Not a minute earlier. I don't want to hear from you.
Good luck with figuring out the way everybody looks at you, what exists in them, how you exist in their minds.
Thank you. I'll work on that in the next week.
And eat your cucumbers and don't kill your eraser.
Got it.
All right. Take us out, Grace.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.